Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome to the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Indeed, it is the extravaganza right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. We are Toledo's sports leader. Hope you're having an outstanding day. Appreciate you being with us. My oh my, did it live up to the hype last night? Was the home run derby everything that you had hoped it would be? Well, if your answer is yes, then I guess you just have lower hopes than I do, because it wasn't everything that I had hoped it would be.
That's over the Marlins.
Oh! 501 feet.
Keep it 9, make it 10.
Uh-oh.
Now towards left center.
504 feet. Whoa!
High fly ball left field.
Oh!
This one is, I don't even know where it went. I don't know where it landed.
513 feet.
Okay.
Wait a minute. If it hits the roof, it doesn't count. Oh, wow.
507 feet.
What do you say after those balls?
Aaron Judge really, really may have redefined the home run derby.
Aaron Judge hit all four of the four balls last night that went 500 feet or farther, and that is what everybody paid to see. You talk about all rise, here comes the judge, all of the kind of interesting little slogans you can use with his name, this big 6'7", 282-pound behemoth, this monster of the Bronx, destroying baseballs with reckless abandon. That's what everybody came for last night, right? Well, you're only half right. That's right, because last night the All-Star Game Home Run Derby did not meet expectations. At least not my expectations, and I will explain why.
Oh!
That was the Giancarlo Stanton bomb that went 496, in case you're scoring at home, and you should be. But it's not about what great things did happen. It's about the things that didn't happen that really, really bothered me about the Home Run Derby, the things that that should have happened that didn't happen that I kind of want to focus on as we get started. The All-Star Game is, of course, tonight. We do have a number of other things to get into, including baseball-wise, I mean, including Bryce Harper's suggestion that maybe, just maybe, we could make this thing even better by taking away the leagues. Now that the leagues don't play for home field advantage in the World Series, which is extraordinarily important. Jim, how many years did that monstrosity go on through last year?
Didn't they start it for the 03 season right
after? That's what I'm thinking, too, like 03
to 16,
maybe? Because
it was 02 was the tie that started the whole thing with Bud Selig in his home park of Milwaukee watching it. And then I'm pretty sure it started with the 03 season.
Yeah, I think you might be right. That's probably what it was, the 03 season through last year. And last year, of course, to me, it was one of the bigger abominations. The fact that
and always
the
remember,
American
folks,
League
we say that as Indians fans,
right? And that's how you know. I mean, I should be like, thank you, All-Star Game, thank you, Bud Selig, for ruining the home field advantage component of the World Series, which should have had the Cubbies winning the World Series in the 10th inning of Game 7 in front of their fans.
Well, right.
Technically, wouldn't have been the 10th inning. Well, I guess it would have. They would have done it in the bottom. But technically, it should have been done in front of their fans at Wrigley because they had a far superior record to the Indians in the regular season. But because the American League and guys that didn't play for the Indians or the Cubs decided the outcome of the All-Star Game in July, the Indians got the home field advantage in game number 7, which was just all kind of stupid. So it's really, really, you know, a positive thing that they got rid of that. So we're going to talk about that. And Bryce Harper says, now that that is no longer an issue, why do we have to stick with league versus league? Why don't we draft the teams and split up guys based on who the top vote getters want? Or maybe you could form a little committee to kind of split them up evenly. But Harper suggested, how cool would it be to watch me try to hit off of my teammate Max Scherzer in the All-Star game? And I got to tell you, it's a really great question. I think it would be an awful lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because you'd see some things that you've never seen before. I told you what really, you know, made the All-Star game special to me, and we talked about this a little bit toward the end of last week, and maybe even for a minute or two yesterday. It was the, you know, there was no interleague play back when I was a kid in the 70s and 80s.
Right.
And so when you got to see the best pitcher in the National League going up against the best hitters in the American League, it was like, oh, my God, look at this battle of the Titans. I mean, it was like a monster movie. When you got to see the very best pitcher in each league going against the murderer's row of the other league, it was like Godzilla versus Mothra, for crying out loud.
It was must-see.
I mean, it was just titanic. And the only time you'd get to see it was in the All-Star game, and then for the one guy, or, you know, if it was the best pitcher who happened to make it to the World Series against some of these other stars, you'd get to see it there, and that was it. Well, that's gone now because of interleague play, obviously. We see these guys facing each other all the time. So that aspect is gone.
Or not necessarily so all the time, but it's possible.
What's that?
Or not necessarily all the time, but, you know, it's possible because you play teams from the other league now.
Right. Well, that's what I mean, though. I mean, since there is interleague play, Clayton Kershaw's already faced American League hitters.
Right.
And you know, Chris Sale's already faced National League hitters, just as an example. So the mystique of that part is gone. So we're looking for a new, if we are, not saying we are, Bryce Harper is, and that's why I want to talk about it in a bit. He is looking for a new angle, looking for new energy. Since we already play against both, you know, guys and hitters and pitchers in both leagues, and there's no novelty there, what can make this different? How about Corey Kluber pitching against Michael Brantley or Jose Ramirez?
Yeah.
Or if you want to go to the Detroit side, how about if Fulmer gets an inning, and he won't pitch tonight, neither will Kluber, of course. We've talked about that aspect
because that
both of them pitched
too
on Sunday. What's that?
That needs to be changed, too.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it can be. We covered it. I guess we can talk about it again, but I don't think it can be. It's like you can't order managers to jack up their rotations just to make sure these guys are available for the All-Star game.
Unless you move it back to Wednesday or something like I suggested.
We've covered
last
that
week.
Too, Jim. We've covered that bad idea too. It changes nothing.
I said it was radical. Didn't say it was a good
idea.
It's
not radical. It's not possible.
Right.
It's just
I
not
agree
possible.
With you there.
If Corey Kluber and Clayton Kershaw both pitched on Sunday, which they did, ain't no way they're going to go an inning or two on Wednesday. They're not going to just rest Monday and Tuesday after going 6, 7, 8, or 9 innings on Sunday and then jack up their arm rest routine and pitch on Wednesday. Nobody won't let that happen either. So it's just not going to be there. But what could be there is Michael Fulmer pitching to Justin Upton. I mean, in the right circumstance, if Fulmer hadn't pitched on Sunday, against Upton, just to pick the two Tigers that are there to make that more. Two other teammates who are, you know, having monster years. How about Chris Sale pitching against Mookie Betts? That's something else that that Harper mentioned. You know, with himself, Harper, going against Scherzer, that sort of thing. So it's a really interesting kind of sort of original radical idea. It's also kind of sort of not terribly original because the Pro Bowl tried to do something with that or like that. In trying to make itself relevant, the Pro Bowl is still awful and should be canceled, but they tried something like that in order to save it. It didn't work. This is a little different because baseball doesn't need saving. The baseball All-Star game is clearly the best All-Star game of the four major sports. It still doesn't mean it can't be better, though, and that's where we'll get into that. But let's go, Jim, back to last night. Did you enjoy the Home Run Derby? How much enjoyment on a scale of 1 to 10 did you get, as you just heard in one of those ESPN clips, Aaron Judge has completely redefined the Home Run Derby. I don't know about that. I saw some incredible power displays put on by the likes of Ken Griffey Jr. Mm-hmm. back in the late 90s. Jim Thome as well.
I remember the 95 one with Albert Bell, and he lost in the final round.
That's another partisan
thing, but I very much remember that one.
There have been a lot of really great power displays. Now, I know we do tend to get caught up in the moment of prisoner of the moment type things. Well, Judge is going on right now, and so this is a redefined it. Oh my God, because he had four of them that went 500 feet. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how much did you enjoy last night?
4.5.
Why? Yeah, that's really low. I expected more. Why?
Well, it was lower. I mean, the one thing I give the Home Run Derby a little bit of credit for are some of the tweaks they've tried to make in recent years, where it's not, you know, totals with 10 outs. It's head-to-head matchups throughout, and they have the clock, even though, you know, baseball and a ticking clock is still weird, even the pitch clock stuff they're talking about, because, you know, it's baseball. There shouldn't be a clock ticking. But I don't mind that format. I do feel the format's a little better than it used to be, because it does take less. Thank goodness, than it used to some, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. It seemed like it would take an extra hour than the one did last night. But, you know, in general, I mean, yeah, Aaron Judge, that's pretty sweet. I don't think he's redefined the entire concept of a home run derby like we're reading in bits and pieces today.
Okay, so let me get to the point that I'm trying to make here. And here's the problem that I had with last night. The problem that I had with last night is that the best home run hitters did not advance out of the first round. Not all of them, anyway. This ridiculous notion of having it one-on-one, this guy v. that guy, and then the winner of that advances. That's a big problem for me because, I mean, look at what we saw. Look at some of the matchups that we saw in that first round. You know, you had hometown fans cheering on Miami Sluggers, Giancarlo Stanton and Justin Bauer, and that's fine. But because of the way the whole thing was set up, Aaron Judge played the role of the heel in that matchup between those two guys because he took out Bauer in a one-on-one matchup 23-22, the fourth and fifth highest totals in home run derby history. Let me say that again. Bauer, who hit 22 home runs, didn't get out of the first round. A guy who hit far less than 22 home runs got out of the first round and got to go to the second round. And that's, you know, Yankees catcher Gary Sanchez, who beat Stanton 17-16. Wait a second. How does Sanchez at 17 outpoint Bauer at 22? How does that work? How are they not saying everybody in the first round is going against the field? It's every man for himself. Top four advance to the next round. Now, if you want, and I wouldn't want again, but if you want, you can make that, the final four, a one-on-one and a one-on-one scenario with the two, you know, finishers, however they would decide. I guess it would probably go in a seeding situation. You know, the highest total in the first round against the lowest total of the four, and then the two middle ones going against one another, kind of in a 1-4-2-3 situation to set up the final. But for me, if you hit the fifth highest total of home runs in home run derby history in a round, and that's what Bauer did, then how on earth are you not in the second round? How is Sanchez in the second round at all? This is just one of those goofy things that the baseball, you know, overlords don't seem to think out properly. I don't understand. I mean, not that there wasn't great drama. There was. The fact that Judge had to come back and beat him 23-22 is amazing. And it's also incredible that Stanton was losing to Sanchez by a ton. I don't remember exactly how many. But he was he had to come back and get super hot in order to push Sanchez before losing 17-16. So great drama from that standpoint, but I would rather have that drama be for the top two, or I should say top four home run hitters in the first round to advance to the second two rounds. It just didn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense for somebody to do one of the all-time, put up one of the all-time numbers in the first round, and he doesn't get to advance because, well, he was on the wrong side of the draw, which is probably about as random can be.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the
I'll give you that. That's all. No, and I'll give you that. That aspect that you're pointing out there with Bauer, that's a flaw in when I said that I kind of like how the format is now relative to before. And you have a good middle ground there. First round, everybody hits, everybody gets their time, and we find out who has the top four. Then match them up head to head. Maybe that's the way to go. But
if you even want to do it then, and you know, I mean, I'm a little in between on that. I mean, yeah. I still don't understand. Now we're down to the final four, it ought to be top two, you know, homer hitters advance to the final. Now it's one-on-one in the final, and that's the way it ought to be. Because the same thing could happen in round two, Jim. You know, you get a great run between, you know, two guys that finishes 20-18, and the other guys finish 13-11. Well, mm-hmm. How does dude who got 13 advance to the final over dude who got 18?
Right.
I wouldn't like it any more then.
No, I do see what you're saying, and it's good that they've been thinking, and that's why these tweaks in recent years of the head-to-head and putting a time limit on the whole thing have come into being, because the old way of doing it was getting a little stale and was dragging on too long. I mean, the whole thing before would have been like 3 hours almost plus. That's what it seemed to be anyway. So there's still got to be middle ground here to make it, because let me put you this way. I still like the home run derby better than I do the slam dunk contest, which you've hearing people compare for the last couple of days. I'm still very much on that front.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's no doubt it's far better than anything the NBA does and anything the NFL does and so on and so forth, but it could be better.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the same thing with the All-Star game that we're going to talk about in a bit. It's something that is the best of what it is, of its kind, but it could be better. Now, the NBA slam dunk contest, I've told you before, there is a way to keep the slam dunk contest and make it the most exciting freaking thing of the NBA weekend. The way you do that is to eliminate the NBA players from it, because they're just not good enough. And I'm not kidding you at all when I say that. If you have seen, what the heck do they call it? Because I've seen each of the first two seasons of it now. The best slam dunkers.
Oh, the Dunk King. Dunk King. It was on like TNT or whatever the playoff games this year. Yeah, that's what
the
you think
best
of.
Dunkers in the world can revive that event, because they're so damn good. They're so creative. They do things that LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, J.R. Richardson, pick your NBR, Jason Richardson, not J.R., and J.R. Ryder. So I combined two guys.
Yeah.
Pick some of your best dunkers in the past. They do things those guys could never dream of doing, and the main reason is it's their full-time job. They practice those things in their own gyms or on their own playground courts or whatever all the time, and they make their living going from city to city and winning slam dunk contests.
Yeah.
Whereas NBA players, who are clearly better players and better athletes overall, they don't have time, because they're practicing real basketball.
Yeah.
They don't have time to come up with all of the different things and to train at it that these guys do. So
not
if you take
the caveat
NBA
that makes
All-Star game, or excuse me, take the NBA slam dunk contest, replace it with the Dunk King contest, and you make the NBA's best dunkers, in the real best dunkers, you know, the ones who haven't participated in it, like LeBron even.
Yeah,
You make them your judges. And you know what else you could do even? I don't know. Now I'm just kind of spitballing here. This is totally off the cuff. You know, maybe you assign each one of the dunkers a coach, an NBA coach, like LeBron reps Jordan Kilgannon.
Yeah, I see where you're going with
you
that.
You know, Zach LaVine reps what's his name, Dupuis, Louis Dupuis or something like that. You know, the Frenchman who has won over 1,000 dunk contests around the world. You know, you work something out where they rep each other and they kind of come up with dunks together and that sort of thing. But they could make that so much better than it is if you just take the non-dunk practicing NBA guys out of the equation and let the professional dunkers who do this for a living kind of go and entertain the NBA fans.
Yeah.
My God, that would just blow the roof off.
You know, you're getting me thinking, because, you know, first off, on the slam dunk stuff that you're talking about, the extra reason that an idea like yours is doable is because we've been living in an NBA world for many years now where the biggest stars don't actually do it. How many times over his whole career have we brought up that LeBron has always
flat out refused? That's the weird thing about that dynamic, Jim. We say that, but it's not real. Because I think he's really the only high-flying superstar dunker that didn't do it. I mean, who did LeBron kind of replace as the best player in the NBA as he came in?
Well, depending on who you talk to, it's Kobe, maybe. Yeah,
it's Kobe. There's nobody else, right? I mean, who else would you be considering?
Yeah, 2003, the Jordans were already retired, so yeah.
Kobe did the dunk contest a few different times. Obviously, Jordan did it. Obviously, Dominique Wilkins did it with him, Dr. Jaguar. The greatest players in the game who were also high flyers, who weren't, you know, big men. You know, power forwards didn't do this sort of thing unless, you know, the occasional Tom Chambers and that sort of thing. But you know, the best, you know, high-flying dunk artists in the real game did it in the dunk contest until LeBron. LeBron is really the first one to not do it and say, I'm not going to be a part of that. We'll see going forward who are the, you know, who are the NBA's best high flyers now who are also stars. Not Zach LaVine, who's just kind of a player. He's an okay player. He does some decent things, but he's not a star. But, you know, will the net, will Lonzo Ball, for example, I've seen him, you know, do a few things with UCLA that look like he could probably entertain the crowd a little bit and do some things. Will he participate? I don't know, but really, it's when we say the great players don't do it anymore, I think we're kind of being a little harsh because it's really only the great player, singular. LeBron is the first superstar to say, no, I'm not taking on that challenge. I think he was always afraid to lose one of those slam dunk contests. It would take away some of his aura as the chosen one. You know, and that's the reason he didn't. He didn't want to lose to some Ben Gordon or somebody. I don't know who would upstage him. But he didn't take that challenge on. But the last great player before him was Kobe, and he did it. And then you go back down the line. Virtually all of the superstars did it.
Yeah.
So where were we on that?
It was because the thing that you're making me think about, just talking about this, is part of this conversation is where we started was, you know, improving, you know, the tweaking of what we see in the home run derby. You know, and one thing that I'm thinking of as I'm wondering about this.
Do you like the clock, by the way, before you continue? Do you like the clock versus the
outs? That's one of the changes that I do. I do only because it makes it makes the whole thing go quicker. That's one of the biggest problems with the previous lineup for how the home run derby was. It was just taking too long.
Well, that's because the hitters took way more pitches because they know each swing that wasn't a home run is an out.
Bingo.
And so everyone had to be perfect. And now in this one, they're just hacking away. And if it's a bad pitch, too bad. Keep them coming. I can face, 80 pitches in 4 minutes as opposed to only getting, if you hit 20 home runs and you have two outs, you face 30 pitches total in the other way.
Right. But one thing I'm thinking of, and it'd be hard for them to do for a home run derby, because there is that aspect of forcing guys to do it. But then again, baseball, what's one of the themes about baseball whenever this type of thing comes up? They need to market themselves and specifically their stars better. We've had that conversation. I'm looking at the home run totals, top four in each league. Judge was there, Stanton was there, Bellinger was part of it. And I'm looking at this, and I'm wondering whether they're all-stars or not, or do you pick from the all-stars, or do you just take the top four home run guy or top eight home run guys in baseball or top four in each league, whether they're all-stars or not, and make them do it?
Well, you can't make them. You can. You know, Bryce Harper is one of the best hitters in baseball, one of the best home run hitters in baseball in reality. He just said, I'm not doing it. He didn't want anything to do with it.
No, he's not in the top four in either in the National League in home runs.
No, I'm not saying he is. What I mean is, if he was, he said he was already invited to do this regardless of where his positioning is right now.
Right.
He said, I'm not doing this.
Yes.
He turned it down. And if he was in the top four, top eight, he would still turn it down because he doesn't want to have happen to him what has happened to a lot of other people, and that is their swings get jacked up in the home run derby. And a lot of guys just refuse to do that. They don't want to put the effort in. They don't want to, they'd rather take pictures and enjoy the All-Star Monday experience. And you can't force them to. The only thing you can do is what? Incentivize them to and offer them a big A paycheck to participate if they're in the top.
Right, because just throwing this out, if you were to take the route where you took the top four NL and AL home run guys, so the leaderboard in home runs, the AL would have Aaron Judge, George Springer, Mike Moustakas, Logan Morrison. Well, Judge and Moustakas were part of this. Right. The NL would have had Votto, Giancarlo Stanton, he was in it, Cody Bellinger, he was in it, and Eric Thames of Milwaukee. And I think he's an all-star, too. So most of those guys I just mentioned are already all-stars. I think Logan Morrison maybe.
I think you passed over Jay Bruce, didn't you?
Oh, you know what? My bad. Yeah, Tim's and Jay Bruce are both tied in the NL with 23. By that logic, Logan Morrison and Chris Davis are tied at 24.
Yeah.
So either or.
But again, and I'm not trying to rain on the idea. I'm not making it appointment viewing to watch Eric Thames hit home runs. I'm not watching it to make sure that I'm there in front of the screen for Logan Morrison either, or for Jay Bruce for that matter. If you told me I was going to see Judge, Stanton, Harper, Trout, if Trout was healthy, of course.
Right.
You know, if you tell me I'm getting those guys, it's the same thing as the basketball. There might be an unknown player who's a far better dunker in the NBA than LeBron James, but I'm still going to watch only if LeBron is doing it.
True.
There might be a guy with more home runs than Bryce Harper who's got 20, but that's appointment viewing for me. You know, if Miguel Cabrera, when he's not having a great year right now and his power is down, but, you know, Chris Bryant, last year's MVP, he only has, 18 home runs this year? So he's not anywhere near the top eight. But if he's on it, I'm watching it. I'm watching it for those kinds of guys. I'm watching Bellinger because of the rookie sensation that he is. I'm watching Aaron Judge, same reason. But I want star names. You put Trout, you put Harper, same way as if you put Kobe and you put Mike in the dunk contest, that's what I'm going to watch. So I think even if you go top four,
okay,
you've got a bunch of people that I'm just, you know.
No, that's fair. That's fair because, you know, part of my thinking of this is the whole, you know, baseball needs to do a better job promoting itself and its stars kind of thing. So,
yes, they do.
And,
but those are the stars. The guys with the most home runs aren't the stars. The guys that I just named are the stars, and they might not have as many home runs right now. But though, you know what I'm saying? Those are the real stars that they need to market. They need to build around Aaron Judge in a huge, huge way. As a matter of fact,
Did you hear
Alex Rodriguez last night?
No.
I'm going to play this after a timeout here. We're going to get a bottom of the hour sports center here, and we'll talk about this. We're just kind of in an all-star baseball binge right now. We'll get into some other things if we can in a bit, but including Alonzo Ball sitting out and wussing out again of his first summer league matchup against De'Aaron Fox. But I'm going to play what Alex Rodriguez said yesterday, and I want to find out if you agree with it, and I want to find out if you do agree with it, if it's fair to him to make the comparison that he did last night regarding Aaron Judge. I'll tell you what that is in a bit. But first, we'll get a timeout here for the bottom of the hour Sports Center after we get you a 4-pack of Any Day Ground Passes to the Marathon Classic. You know it starts on Monday, a week from yesterday, this coming Monday at Highland Meadows. 4-pack of Any Day Ground Passes. Go to caller number 5, 866-240-1065. That 4-pack is yours. Good luck to you, and we're back right after this.
Now by calling 866-240-1065. Now back to the Bob France Extravaganza on 106.5 The Ticket.
All right, Ray with you at 3:43. Thanks for being with us on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. We are Toledo Sports Leader, and we're going to be there with complete coverage of the 2017 LPGA Marathon Classic coming up from Highland Meadows, starting on Monday the 17th, going through the 23rd. Drive Time with Mike Miller, live all week long from 5 to 6. And we will be here, or be there, I should say, with the Extravaganza Thursday and Friday from 3 to 5 as we get ready for the first two rounds, or actually the first two rounds get underway. Mike Jamison and Great Lakes Golf today will be live Saturday 8 to noon. And Cheap Seats with Mick Gonzalez will be live Sunday morning. Jim Christian will have live updates from Highland Meadows both Saturday and Sunday as well. So you'll have complete coverage of the Marathon Classic right here on Toledo's ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Speaking of that, congratulations to Kurt Cohan of Perrysburg. Kurt is going to the Marathon Classic. He was the fifth caller, and very well played. I've got a breaking news story in front of me. It's not really news because I knew it was going to happen. Once again, giving lip service to this ridiculously overwrought issue because of political correctness in 2017. At the beginning of the season, oh, we're going to address that. Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred now says, well, we're going to address that later. Again, talking about Chief Wahoo and the decision as to whether or not the Indians should be allowed to continue using the Chief on their merchandise. Headline is, or I should say the first line from, let's see, where is this from? It's the Plain Dealer out in Cleveland. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred said Tuesday that the future of Chief Wahoo has been tabled until the end of the season. Manfred speaking to a luncheon to members of the Baseball Writers Association. at the All-Star game in Miami, said it's clear, has made it clear he'd like the Indians to do away with it, asked if there had been any movement. He said, we've had ongoing dialogue with the Indians. I think it's safe to say you're not going to see any dramatic developments until we're through the 2017 season. And I promise you, once the 2017 season is over, they will delay any new developments until the start of the 2018 season. And then they will get into the All-Star break in 2018 and say, well, we pushed that discussion back to the end of the season. They don't want to address this. And there's a good reason why. It's not up to them. It's not up to Major League Baseball. It's up to the ownership of the Cleveland Indians. That's it. When the Indians played the Rockies in Denver in June, Manfred was at Coors Field as part of the annual tour of big league ballparks. Asked about Chief Wahoo at that time, Manfred referred to a court ruling in Canada and said, we are hoping that case was going to be dismissed. It was not. I think it points out the ongoing practical problems that are posed by this particular logo. He's referring to, in May, the Ontario Human Rights Tribunal ruled that an Ontario court can hear a case contending the Indians' name and Chief Wahoo logo are discriminatory. This decision was made at the end of May and is the latest chapter in a case filed during last year's American League Championship Series between the Indians and the Blue Jays. And if you remember that one, they did not want the Indians to be allowed to come to Toronto if they continued to use the name Indians and the Chief Wahoo logo. This was during the playoff series. Naturally, that was kicked out of court. And away we went. Chief Wahoo went up to Toronto and kicked their Blue Jay butts. And that's where we stand. So, yeah, more politicking coming into sports, creating a problem where no problem exists. And Manfred knows it full well that he can't do anything about it. So they are going to continue to urge the Indians to do this while the Indians continue to urge Major League Baseball to mind their own business. Oh, sure, they'll give lip service to it and say, well, we're very mindful of other concerns. But the bottom line is, the tradition and the history of the Indians franchise is so important to so many of the Indians fans, not just in Cleveland, Ohio out there, but around the country. And they sell far too much Wahoo merchandise, and they would see far too much blowback, financial and otherwise, if they were to touch the beloved Chief. So there's your update from Commissioner Rob Manfred on the Wahoo controversy. We'll also talk about something else he said today at the luncheon, which is the talked about the possibility of expansion into three major league cities. But for now, we'll go to the phone calls. Drew in Toledo, you're on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. How you doing, Drew?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Outstanding, my man. Outstanding. What's on your mind?
Oh, not so we were talking our game a little earlier, the Home Run Derby.
Yeah.
Me, for one, I'm not a baseball fan. I love sports. I love hockey. I love football. I love college football. I love sports. But I don't love baseball. And I could not shut that thing off last night. I was flipping through the channels and it came on. I, you know, come across ESPN because I don't watch much ESPN anymore. But it was up on there and I stopped and I watched it for a little bit and I could not stop watching it. It was phenomenal.
So now, did you watch it from the beginning of the first round or did you catch it somewhere in the middle and toward the end?
When I turned it on, Gary Sanchez just went and hit 17. So that's when
I turned it on.
So
that was first round.
Yep.
Okay. See, that's and it was a very entertaining first round. There's no doubt about it. But again, because for me, a guy that hit 22 home runs did not get to advance out of that first round, while a guy that hit 17 did. That's when I turned it off. I checked back on it from time to time just to see if there were any other moonshots being hit. But I wasn't engrossed by it only because I felt like fundamental unfairness had already happened here. The guy that hit 22 in the first round didn't advance to the second round while the guy who hit 17 did?
Well, it's really easy to change that format. You just take a bunch of guys, take all those guys last night and let them go hit for 4 minutes, however long it was. I don't even remember. But so let them go hit. Let everybody go hit. The guy, you know, take the next, like, four top home runs, move on to the next round. No matter who it is, there's no bracket format.
Right, that's what I'm talking about. So
that's how you fix it, but it was still, no doubt about it, it was captivating. And it was amazing to watch Mr. Judge out there just putting on a show. He is the new face of baseball. Maybe I'll start watching again.
What you just said. What you just said is huge, and I'm glad you brought that up. That is exactly
That's what the MLB should be after, if they're paying attention. I don't know, but you know, you were talking about basketball real quick, and I don't want to miss your MLB point there, but talking about basketball dunk contest, the NBA ruined that. It wasn't the players, because the NBA came out with the Rising Stars thing, and Desmond Mason was in it back, you know, and it was still good, but it wasn't the best players in the NBA. And I think the NBA ruined the dunk contest, personally, not the players.
Well, in a little bit of both, to be honest with you, a little bit of both, because, yes, the NBA ruined it, in my estimation, because of the format changes that they have undergone through the years. They went from, you know, everybody getting a certain number of dunks and then, you know, points, and then they screwed around and said, well, it's kind of like what they did last night. You have 30 seconds or 60 seconds on the clock to do as many cool dunks as you can, and we'll evaluate all of those. And it just got into,
yep.
You know, and then it's, well, your misses don't count. We'll only judge you on the one that you make. And they did ruin it, but the other part of it is, when the superstars aren't participating, you know, let's put it to you this way. Aaron Judge has now become a full-fledged superstar, agreed?
Oh, absolutely. Officially, he is.
What if next year he doesn't want to do it? What if next year he says, no, I won it last year. Let's let somebody else win it this year.
Well, here's the thing. That would be like
LeBron not doing the dunk contest.
You got to make it an ego thing, and that's like – back in the 80s when Dominique and MJ, you know, were going back and forth, it was an ego thing. Like, they were out there to prove who was the best in the league, and they don't have that anymore because of the entitlement that they get with these giant contracts that they have and how everybody worships them. But so beyond that, if you go out there and you say, all right, LeBron, I'm going to put, you know, right now in the league, I couldn't tell you who it is, but earlier in LeBron's career, you know, put him up against Dwayne Wade and, you know, have a dunk contest like that, you know, where you're going to play at their egos.
That's how it went back in the day when it was Michael Jordan, who was one of the best leapers the game had ever seen, against the likes of Dominique Wilkins, the human highlight film. Not only an all-star and a Hall of Famer, but also one of the game's greatest leapers ever. They went at each other because they wanted to win. Clyde Drexler, Clyde wanted to beat both of them. Dr. J and David Thompson started it all off. They wanted to win. It wasn't just like, well, we got to put on a show for the fans.
The NBA,
ego, you know, their pride and their I want to beat the other guy just doesn't exist.
Yeah, but the NBA needs to help that, and they're not doing anything to help that.
How? How do you make LeBron James care about whether or not he wins the dunk contest and is able to beat the other great dunkers? Oh, we lost Drew's phone? That's okay. Drew, that's okay. We were about at the end of the call anyway. But there's a question just for everybody. How does the NBA make that better? How do you force LeBron to want to compete when he doesn't have the desire, the interest in competing in this thing that the previous superstars who were Skywalkers did? Let's go to Toledo. And, Tim, you are on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Timmy, what's going on?
What do you think? I didn't catch the beginning of the show, Bob. What was your opinion on Aaron Judge last night?
Well, on Aaron Judge, my opinion is through the roof. He is kind of like where he almost hit one, through the roof. he put on a spectacular display. My problem with the Home Run Derby last night was simply in format, because the best hitters did not advance, or the best home run hitters did not advance out of the first round. Because when you've got a guy who loses to Aaron Judge 23-22, and a guy with the 22 doesn't advance, and a guy who beat another guy 17-16 does advance, how does 17 become greater than 22 and you get to move on? I just feel like they need to make it an independent, every man for himself first round, top four hitters advance, rather than these individual one-on-one showdowns that they have, because it doesn't reward the guys who perform the best.
I think that's a good point. You know, I could live with that. I thought one thing about Judge last night.
What's that?
It seemed like the competition in the second and the final round, they were kind of worn out, but Judge seemed to be still relatively fresh.
Yes, I completely agree. That is a big part of this thing, the fatigue factor. And you know what's weird is baseball has seen through the years of the Home Run Derby, certain guys tail off and slump in the second half with their power numbers and even their batting averages after the Derby. And some say it's because they spent 20 minutes swinging for the fences and it messes up their swing. I don't know that it's necessarily participating in it in itself that does it, but what you just said is accurate. When you become fatigued, now your mechanics of your swing start to get they change. You're trying to compensate because you've taken that many rips with everything that you have. And that can take a while to get back on track again. So the fatigue factor of in the second round and certainly into the finals, you know, I'll be interested to see how Sano does in the second half, because you saw how tired he was in the finals. He could barely get lift on the ball anymore.
That's true. And one more point on my favorite subject, the Yankees.
Yes, sir.
The last time we spoke, you know, we were discussing the possibility of the Yankees making a trade at the deadline or something like that.
Yep.
And remember, I was cautious. I said, I think they're getting the cart a little in front of the horse on this whole thing. And that seems to be the case with the Yankees. They're more than one or two players away from getting into the playoffs, in my opinion. And I'm a Yankee fan.
Well, you might very well be right. You know, and the Red Sox, of course, are still a very, very talented team, probably the most talented team in the division. The Yankees might be a year away. But since when has that ever stopped the Yankees? You know, if you're within a whisper of the first-place team, and if you feel like, you know, there isn't the, pardon the pun here, but the 27 Yankees out there in the way, and you feel like you've got as good a shot at anybody once you get to an October playoff series, I can't see the Yankees being cautious. They've never been. It's not their M.O. And I know George isn't around to run the ship anymore.
I was just going to mention that.
Yeah. So, and he, of course, was the driving force of that. But I think that spirit still lives on because it's New York. New York doesn't do things halfway. New York doesn't play it slowly and cautiously. Well, we're still a year away. We'll sit tight and we'll lose the division and not make the playoffs and watch Boston go into the playoffs. That's not in the DNA of New Yorkers. And I don't think it's in the DNA of the Steinbrenner family and everybody else that runs the ship or runs the show and drives the ship, if you will, captains the ship. They know that it's, you know, if they have a chance at it, they go for it. That's just the way New York is. So I will be very surprised, to be quite honest with you, even though I think you're right, Tim, that they're not there yet. I would be very surprised if they admit that and kind of play it cautiously before this trade deadline.
And Tim, I see where you're coming from on this too. I mean, as we're sitting here at the break, it's, you know, it's a 3.5 game deficit in the East, and right now actually Yankees tied with Tampa for second, but more importantly for that home wild card. And hey, you're a Yankee fan, you have experience with this as Bob and I do as Indians fans. You don't want to be shooting for the trade moons when your probable best option is that silly one-game playoff, which sadly, unless something changes, especially at Boston's end in the second half, that's what your Yankees are staring in the face, is hosting that wild card game. And that's just such a crapshoot. I'd be cautious to give away some bigger prospects, you know, for a rental type guy for that kind of run. I see where you're coming from.
Well, you know, that's what happened the last time they were in the playoffs. They made to get in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
They had the home field against Houston. And,
yep.
And,
Keuchel shut them out, just like the Indians got shut out in 2013. Yeah, there's nothing special about especially if you're losing that cup of coffee playoff game. Yeah, so I get that. I understand. You want to make sure, hey, this is a team that is blatantly can win this division. Now you want that other piece to go farther in the playoffs. I see what you're saying. It's a hard gamble if you really can only spot for the wild card.
That's right. And one last thing, Bob, talking about New Yorkers.
Yes, sir.
You know, he hit last week, the big kick was that Joe DiMaggio had the Yankee record for home runs with 29.
For a rookie, yes.
For a rookie. And now Judge has 30. Let's just everybody sit down and take a deep breath, take a drag on a cigarette, whatever. I don't think we're ready to start comparing Aaron Judge to Joe DiMaggio.
No, and you know, it's a goofy stat anyway, because, you know, the greatest Yankee home run hitter of all time, of course, is Babe Ruth, who was not a rookie with the Yankees.
Yeah,
so it's a goofy stat anyway, you know, if you look at Mickey Mantle and Babe and everything else and Joe DiMaggio. But let's just say the kid is a budding superstar. He's got the looks. He's got the body of a pro wrestler or an all-pro defensive end or something, and he plays in New York, and he mashes. Let him do it for a while. Let's see if he can do it for a whole season, let alone string a couple of seasons together. But this is somebody the Major League Baseball ought to be able to build around and use as one of their faces of baseball.
Well,
and to that point, Tim, thanks for the call. I said I was going to play the comments from Alex Rodriguez about Aaron Judge in this segment. We obviously got away from us. It got away from us with a little bit of callers. So what I'll do is we'll take our time out here at the top. We'll get a sports center. Then I'll come back and play it. Then I want to see if you agree and find out if it's fair to say this about Aaron Judge and find out if it's accurate to say this about Aaron Judge as baseball looks for a hero and looks for faces that they can build around, personalities and stars that have been missing. The NBA is built around stars. All of the shoe contracts and everything else, baseball or football is built around stars. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, all the way down the line. Baseball is not built around its stars. Baseball is more or less built around the game itself, the pennants, the World Series, the history, the tradition. It's not built around stars, and they need to build around stars. Could this be the star for them to build around? We're going to talk about that, and when you hear what Alex Rodriguez said, we'll get some reaction coming up as we continue into hour number two right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
This is the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Hour number two underway right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. We are Toledo Sports Leader. Hope you're having an outstanding Tuesday. We got 51 minutes of outstanding awesome left. Hey, congratulations to... Oh, that was from the last one. We didn't do our second one yet, did we, Jimmy?
No, we did not.
We'll do more Marathon Classic tickets. I just saw a name up there. I didn't realize it was the same guy. But we'll give away more Marathon tickets coming up here. And a reminder to you again that we will be broadcasting live once again from the 2017 Marathon Classic from Highland Meadows next week. As a matter of fact, Mike Miller and Drive Time will be there all week long from 5 to 6. We'll be broadcasting live from 3 to 35 on Thursday and Friday. Mike Jamison has the Great Lakes Golf Today program. Saturday, 8 to noon, will be there. And Cheap Seats with Mick Gonzalez live Sunday morning. Cushion with live updates all weekend long from Highland Meadows both Saturday and Sunday next week. So we're looking forward to the tournament, which starts on Monday. Great coverage all week long. All right, we're talking a lot of baseball today, and we're talking about the All-Star game. We're talking about All-Star Monday night last night with the Home Run Derby, and we're talking about ways to potentially improve the game. Bryce Harper has some ideas and more. And I want to talk about the stars and just the marketing of baseball going forward. We just had a caller who said, I'm not a big baseball fan. He said, I like all the other sports, but not as much baseball. But he said he couldn't turn off last night's derby because of Aaron Judge. And he said, I could see myself watching a lot more baseball just because of Aaron Judge. And it's like, ding, 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 ding. Personalities sell sports. Superstar players with personalities that are featured in commercials, in advertising campaigns, marketing, whatever you want to do. That's how you sell sports. When was baseball... Well, I don't want to say it at its very peak because I don't have numbers on attendance and ratings going all the way back. But, again, I go back to my childhood. What grabbed me? Well, Reggie Jackson grabbed me. The sunglasses, the pinstriped 44, the swings that he missed on. The hell with his three home runs in a World Series game. The ones that he missed on in which he screwed himself into the ground. He swung so dang on hard. He was a personality in the fights that he had with Billy Martin, for crying out loud. Mark Fidrich, the Bird, from Detroit, obviously. The personalities of the game, to me, Pete Rose, Charlie Bleeping Hustle, you know, and Johnny Bench. And you just go on, and the stars, to me, sell the games. And baseball doesn't really market its stars. So we just had a caller say Aaron Judge could make him watch more baseball. And I thought, what a perfect time to bring up what I was talking about yesterday on Fox Sports, on a talk show there. Alex Rodriguez, A-Rod, was talking about Aaron Judge and about how this could be the time for baseball really to cross over from being just a sport about tradition and history and to be a sport that features the personalities of people like Bryce Harper, who's insanely entertaining, and youthful exuberance coming out of his ear. Very different, by the way, than Mike Trout. Trout and Harper, widely considered to be the two best all-around players in baseball under 24, and they are. And offensively, defensively, power, batting average, they've both been MVPs already. Trout a couple of times, and Harper once. I mean, it's just, come on. They're that good, but they're very different guys. Trout, vanilla, boring. really, truly doesn't really like the microphone, doesn't like the spotlight, just wants to play the game better than almost anybody who's ever played it in history by his age, and go about his business and go home. Harper loves the spotlight. Harper's hair loves the spotlight. I mean, it's flopping and flailing in the wind when he's trotting or when he's sprinting after a ball in the outfield. He loves it. And he lets that be known in his commentary, in the statements that he makes about excitement and about energy and so on and so forth, about wanting to fix the All-Star game or to make it better. They've got to find a way to build their brand around these young stars who like the spotlight. Not so much Trout, definitely guys like Harper. Well, here comes Aaron Judge, who just is about the coolest cat in the building last night. You know, his size, his strength, his intimidating presence. Well, by God, he's almost like, dare I say, I won't say. I will let Alex Rodriguez say.
For the first time in a long time, we have a LeBron James type of personality, size that can transcend sport. Here's a guy who's 6'7", 275 pounds, 9% body fat, 32-inch vertical. The guy bench presses 400 pounds, squats 500 pounds, and he's an amazing figure. I mean, and for the next generation to say, well, there's a guy that could be a tight end and an all-pro, and he chose baseball. Why can't I? And hopefully the kids are taking notes of Aaron Judge.
You know, it's great.
That is an unbelievable statement by Alex Rodriguez.
Didn't think I'd have much I'd ever agree with A-Rod on, but I think he hit the nail on the head there.
Not only did he hit the nail on the head, just I mean, I'm just incredibly impressed with the observation itself. We're all blown away by 6'7", 275 pounds. I think I heard 282 was the number I heard. But okay, whatever. Let's say 280. We'll go somewhere in between. We're all impressed by the size. We're all impressed by the power. But what Alex Rodriguez observed that nobody really talks about is this guy who could have played basketball with that size, this guy who could have been a dominating force in football, benches 400, squats 500, 32-inch vertical. He chose this game. He chose baseball. That's the kind of guy you got to build a marketing campaign around. That's the kind of guy you need to say, hey, kids, just because you're a great athlete doesn't mean you have to be on the basketball court. How many times have we talked about young, particularly minority kids in a lot of urban centers, turning away from baseball? You know, the RBI initiative, which is the Reviving Baseball in the Inner City, RBI, has been going on for a number of years now, trying to find a way to build ballparks, get kids, you know, use gloves and bats, whatever it takes to get them out there on the sand lot or the ballpark or the diamond, the local diamond in the city, to bring young urban kids back into the game because they kind of seem to have departed it. And one of the reasons why is the young stud athletes who are really great and athletic find the game to be a little boring. It's a little slow moving. It's a little bit, I'm tired of waiting for the ball to be hit to me. I'm bored out here. I'm in the dugout. I'm tired of waiting nine guys before I get a chance to hit, or eight other guys. You know, it's a little boring. If I get out there on the basketball court, I'm in it all the time, back, forth, offense, defense. It's my ball. And so great athletes migrated away from the game for a while. And what Alex Rodriguez observed here is here's a great athlete who easily could have migrated to one of the other games. And he said, no, it's baseball. And baseball's exciting, and baseball's exhilarating, and baseball's thrilling. And when you mash the ball the way Aaron Judge did last night, he's right. It is all of those things.
For the first time in a long time, we have a LeBron James type of personality and size that can transcend sport. Here's a guy who's 6'7", 275 pounds, 9% body fat, 32-inch vertical. The guy bench presses 400 pounds, squats 500 pounds, and he's an amazing figure. I mean, and for the next generation to say, well, there's a guy that could be a tight end and an all-pro, and he chose baseball. Why can't I? And hopefully the kids are taking notes of Aaron Judge.
I'll tell you what, it's a great, great point. I got 9% body fat in my right quad, for crying out loud. Aaron Judge at 6'7 and 280, he's got that in his entire body. That is really, truly what baseball needs to build around, guys like that. And if you saw how comfortable he was in the microphone of the microphone, I'm not saying he's Bryce Harper and gregarious and outgoing like that, but he's not, you know, Mike Trout, just like, thank you, quiet. Right. You know, just you know, I'm just here to I'm just here so I don't get fined. No, he's not Marshawn Lynch either. But he really, you could tell he likes what's happening to him. The question I would have, though, two questions, in fact. Number one is Alex Rodriguez right about Aaron Judge? And number two, is it fair to put the label of baseball's LeBron on him? Number one, that baseball or that label was really already given away. And it was given away to one of the other guys we're discussing, Bryce Harper. Major League Baseball, not Major League Baseball, let me restate that. Sports Illustrated, about 8 years ago, when he was 16 years old, 7 years ago, I guess, when he was 16 years old, put Bryce Harper on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and the headline said, Baseball's LeBron, because he is that dominant at that young of an age. And with the personality to boot, that is the kind of guy they ought to build around. But the Judge part of this is a little different than the Harper part of this. And it's a little different than the LeBron part of this. And if you really kind of think about, you know, what those guys did, LeBron, Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, I'm trying to think of other really, really young superstars who came right out of Kobe, came right out of high school or 1 year out of college and transformed their games in many ways. Aaron Judge isn't that guy. Aaron Judge toiled for about 3 years in the minors. Aaron Judge got a call up last year, hit about $170, I want to say, and really couldn't find
it. It was under 200, I know that.
I'm sorry?
It was under 200, yeah. I know that.
Yeah, well under 200, I think. Probably around $170, 75, 80, whatever. And so it isn't, my point to that is, it isn't easy to say this guy at 25 or 6, what is Aaron Judge? You know what his age is? I want to say he's 25. It isn't easy to say this guy is just going to go on to do what those other superstars did. He's 25, I found it. Born April 26, 1992, so kind of freshly 25.
And it was .179, four homers, 10 RBIs, and 84 at-bats last year.
There you go. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. My point to all of that is Aaron Judge looks like he just can't miss now. Aaron Judge is going to challenge the single-season home run records, at least the one set by mortals, not the one set by steroid science experiments.
Right.
He's gonna you know, carry the New York Yankees on his back. He's going to be the face of the pinstripes, et cetera, et cetera. And the fact of the matter is, this is a guy who not that long ago couldn't find the ball when he swung. This is a guy who, even when he swings today, misses a lot. He's hitting .329, which, what do you mean he's missing a lot? He's also on a pace to strike out 205 times in a season. That's a lot.
Side note, he also leads the AL in walks right now.
How about that, too? In other words, pitchers are going to start pitching very, very carefully to him, making him chase pitches perhaps that are not comfortable to him. And if those bad habits from a year ago resurface, he could be one of these flashes in the pan where he has a monster season or two and then doesn't carry it out for the rest of his career. But for now, I see enough there that baseball should grab the Judge name, which is really, really cool. And I saw some of the fans out in the Marlins ballpark last night wearing the old English wigs, if
yeah.
you will. You know, the long, like, judicial
yep.
curled wigs.
Yep, yep.
With signs that said, "All rise," which is awesome. "All rise," while the Judge enters the courtroom. It is, there's so many cool things they can do to build around him and Harper,
yeah.
and so on and so forth. And I hope that baseball takes full advantage of that. I was not a big fan of the way they held that home run derby last night, as I said, from a formatic standpoint, but I am absolutely fine with the way it ended because, yeah. Aaron Judge, the big giant, literally and figuratively, he is a gigantic man, literally, and he is a giant figure of an icon, if you will, at this very, very young age right now that baseball needs to grab.
And I'll say this too, to Alex Rodriguez's comments, you know, the whole LeBron part, comparing him that way, if we're talking about his level of play, then yes, we still need to see more. He has still only taken 385 career major league at bats. But in terms of a possible, as long as he's continuing this though, in terms of a possible face, in a way, he'd even be better, I think, than Trout or Bryce Harper. And the simple reason is lightning rod factor, Bob. He's a New York Yankee. Everyone's going to have an opinion on that, whether they like him or don't like him, because he's wearing the pinstripes. If part of the goal here is marketing, don't underestimate the fact he's in the pinstripes and not out with, say, the Angels or in Washington. That makes a difference.
Well, yeah, it does, and that's one of the reasons why everybody expects Bryce Harper to go to New York next year when he is a free agent.
Right, seen all those rumors, yep.
And to command perhaps baseball's first $400 million contract. Again, exceeding Giancarlo Stanton's current record, $325 million contract. It could very well happen. And can you imagine that lineup? Harper hitting third, and if he continues the way he is, Aaron Judge hitting fourth, my God.
I think it'll make our buddy Tim happy, that's for sure.
That would be something. It would make the rest of us miserable, but it would make Yankee fans happy. Adam is in Toledo on ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. Big Adam, what's going on, man? How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Very well, my man. What's on your mind?
Hey, one of the previous callers said we need to slow down on Aaron Judge, and I have to say we need to speed up on this guy. I think of like Ezekiel Elliott last year in the NFL. He became a giant superstar because he was doing things as a rookie. Who's to say that Ezekiel Elliott's not going to like get an injury, be done after two seasons? But NFL knows how to market that guy. I mean, you got to be able to market the guy that is there in the here and now, and that's been the baseball's major issue, is that they don't market their superstars. I mean, I couldn't pick Mike Trout out of a lineup of guys that are similar to him. I mean, if he wasn't on a Super Pretzels box, I wouldn't even know what kind of ad campaign he's ever been a part of. Think of Peyton Manning. He was recognizable across every format. You have to be able to market your guys, and you have to take the guys that are here now, ready to go, and make them into superstars. If Aaron Judge falls off the face of the earth in the next couple of years, well, you at least tried, and you know what? You didn't do anything. You move on to the next one. That's what the NFL's always done. That's what the NBA's always done.
And to your point, Adam, real quick, you know, you brought up Ezekiel Elliott as part of the comparison. There's one of those big markets that everybody has an opinion, like or dislike. He plays for Big D. That helps in this in the marketing situation.
And Bellinger, I mean, he's right there. They should be marketing the heck out of him. You should have known about Bellinger going into the Home Run Derby. Just like you should have known a lot about Aaron Judge going into the Home Run Derby, but no one knew about these guys. For one, it hurts Bellinger a little bit because he's playing in LA and they play late games, but that never hurt Kobe. That never hurt anyone who's played in LA before for NBA or for the NFL. But it seems to hurt only in baseball. We need to start looking at these guys.
In my opinion, it doesn't hurt guys who want to be a part of this. I'll give you an example. The National Basketball Association, I think we all know, does a great job of marketing its stars, right? It is a star-driven league. It is LeBron, and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant and James Harden, the Beard, and Russell Westbrook. It's all about them. It's not about their teams. It's not about the game's history. It's all about those superstars. That's the way that it is. But yet, and you brought this up, Adam, and you did too, Jim, about Elliott being in Dallas. You know, the fact that Aaron Judge is in New York should be a huge boost. But you still have to, three things in order for this to really work the way we're talking about. Number one, you have to be good for a more sustained period of time. You can't be a flash in the pan. We don't know that about Judge just yet. I do agree with you, though, Adam. We need to run toward him and speed this up rather than hit the brakes a little bit. But the true test of somebody's marketability is their endurance. How long will they be good? Number two, you have to win. You have to win. You can't be hitting tons of home runs on a team that's going to be in fourth place every year. And number three, you have to have a personality. And the reason I bring all of those caveats up is Carmelo Anthony is in the basketball epicenter of the universe, and the NBA doesn't build around him at all. You notice that list of guys that I just ran down because, A, Carmelo doesn't embrace any of these things. He's a vanilla personality. B, he doesn't win. The Knicks are terrible. And C, while he has been good for a really long period of time, it's been good at one thing, and that is scoring the basketball, not doing the Russell Westbrook thing and putting up massive numbers in other categories and so on. And so he's just like an also-ran, even though he's in Madison Square bleeping garden. So Aaron Judge has all the opportunities to do those things. But you know, you really kind of have to be good in all three to really, you know, build around. Go ahead.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
Could you pick could you pick Carmelo Anthony out of a lineup?
Yeah.
Do you know what he looks like?
I could.
You know what he looks like? It's because they marketed him at least a little bit. A little bit. You know what he looks like.
Well,
the fact
you know
that
what it
Mike,
is. It's
the
a
fact
memory.
That Mike Trout,
it's a memory they marketed him when he was 20, like LeBron, when he was 22, 23,
Mike,
24, and had a
Mike
chance
Trout
to become great in his career. It never worked out, but I still remember him. So it's more of a memory than a they market him thing.
Mike Trout's in a big area, but he's on a team that's not winning, and you can't but you can't pick Mike Trout out of a lineup because he should be the face of baseball before this because he's there. Why not get him into a commercial for Papa John's?
You know, have you seen Bryce Harper's Papa John's? Do you know who's a bigger personality in Los Angeles baseball than Mike Trout? Yasiel Puig is a bigger personality and more well-known in baseball than Mike Trout. And Yasiel Puig is a clown. He's got a lot of talent, but he's a goof. But number one, he plays for the Dodgers, not the Angels. It's kind of like Lakers, not Clippers. And number two, he is excitable. He is out there. He's you know, energetic, spirited, whatever
and
you
still
want to call it.
And
Trout is just businesslike.
I don't know what Yasiel Puig looks like, though. I mean, you should be able to know who your superstars are in your sport.
Yeah, you should.
If Yasiel Puig,
that's the reason we're talking about it. Baseball does a poor job of that. Could you pick Clayton Kershaw out of a lineup?
No, and that's the problem. I couldn't pick Madison Bumgarner, Clayton Kershaw, Chris Sale. These are guys who are starting. If Max Scherzer didn't have two different color eyes, I probably could have picked him out. I mean, these are the guys that are starting for your All-Star game, and you can't pick them out of a lineup. Why is that? These are your top-level players. You should be able to find them easily.
I will say this. Not that baseball has done a good job of marketing them, because I think we're all in agreement here on that. But SportsCenter and the highlight shows, even though we don't watch a lot of Dodgers baseball because it's West Coast, et cetera, out here in the East, Eastern time zone. But the highlight shows have done enough to the point where, you know, I could pick out Clayton Kershaw because dude has won 14 freaking games. And when he is out there dealing, I'm seeing him. I'm seeing him on the mound. I'm seeing the highlights. And so the Sports Center type of marketing, if you will, is working. But it's not nearly enough. Baseball doesn't do nearly enough to get him out there in commercials, to get him out there endorsing products, to put him in front of young kids' faces to say, you want to throw the ball like Clayton? Here's drink Powerade or whatever it is, to really get the young people to embrace him. I watch the highlight shows enough that I can recognize some of these guys, but by and large, they don't have good marketing campaigns so that regular, ordinary, average, or younger fans can do the same.
They had a great opportunity last year with the Cubs winning and Anthony Rizzo. He was right there. He had a personality, and they could have put him in front of so many more cameras. I mean, he was on Saturday Night Live, and people were like, who are those guys? You know, I mean, these guys just won the World Series, and there were people like, well, oh, they're Cubs, but who are they?
Yep, I think that's a very fair point. You know, they really have not grabbed on guys that are great stories, and the moment that they're great stories, which then, of course, you know, is with the hope that they remain great stories and great players for years to
come
so that you can really build a brand there.
And you know what? The NFL has gravitated towards guys who are flashes in the pan, and they might not make it a long time, but in the moment that they're there, they are superstars. And there's been guys like that have had great first couple seasons. I mean, and then they go away. And, I mean, think about RG3's rookie year. He was huge. I mean, wins rookie of the year. He was a great player and everything like that. I mean, now, yeah, he's nobody. He's struggling to even stay in the league, let alone – be a superstar.
He's losing that struggle, by the way, because I don't think he's on a roster.
Oh, right,
he's
yeah. Right now. Yeah, and that's the thing. But I could still tell you what RG3 looked like because they marketed him in the moment when he was big. That's what they need to do with Aaron Judge. They need to market him in the moment because he's big. He just had this huge moment with the hitting 513 and 513
four
feet
over 500. Yeah, like I said, he was Godzilla in the
huge.
Monster movie. Yeah, I got to run, Adam. Thanks, my man.
Right,
great conversation. I enjoyed every bit of it. And I want to tell you, if you want to enjoy watching sports, it's better to do in groups. So the next time you host a watch party for a home run derby or an all-star game or anything else, call an order from the B-Dubs party menu. Download their new app. You're going to love that. Even if it's not a party and you just want to root for the team from your couch, your best move, the Buffalo Wild Wings takeout menu. That's right. Just download the new app and you can customize your orders, save your favorites, schedule your pickup time. B-Dubs is also serving fan favorites for a limited time as well. The barbecue pork grilled cheese, which is amazing. And the Buffalo Loaded Tots, so good. Call Buffalo Wild Wings whenever the games are on. Buffalo Wild Wings. It's all about wings, beer, sports. I got more marathon ground, any day ground kit passes for you that I'll be giving away when we come right back as we continue on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Now, back to Bob France, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
All right, rolling on, final segment of the extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. We are indeed Toledo sports leader. Thanks for being with us. Really good calls today so far. If you want to make one, do it now. We'll put you on too at 866-240-1065. A lot of really good stuff on baseball that we've been discussing. But I want to throw a couple of other wrinkles at you about baseball as they kind of celebrate all things baseball during this All-Star break. And, of course, the game is scheduled for tonight. It'll be Max Scherzer against Chris Sale. Each starter will probably work just two innings. And they'll pitch against the opposite leagues, as has always been the case. Now, what is different this year, as you know, is that the winner of the All-Star game tonight, the winning league, will not host the World Series for their league's pennant winner. In other words, last year it was the American League who took down the National League in the Midsummer Classic, and therefore the Indians ended up getting home field advantage in the World Series against the Cubs, despite the Cubs having baseball's best record. It was stupid when it was started in 03, and it was stupid when it ended in 2016. So we're back to making this just an exhibition game, which is good. That's a positive thing. There's no reason for it to be anything else. Other than an exhibition. But we like it to be a competitive exhibition. We like for the players not to just go through the motions the way they do in the NBA All-Star game, where nobody plays defense. And it's an exhibition of alley-oop dunks and 70-foot shots. We like it to be more than just an exhibition the way it is in the Pro Bowl, where nobody plays defense, nobody tackles hard, nobody really blocks hard, and everything is just kind of laissez-faire. Well, there is a way to improve that aspect of baseball. While it might indeed still be, and I think we would all agree, the very best all-star game of the four major sports, an all-star weekend, the home run derby versus the slam dunk contest and the skills contest, and hockey as a skills contest, I think, and all those sorts of nonsense. It is the best. It could be better. Bryce Harper is one of the guys who says, let's make it better. What do you think of Harper's suggestion that the top two vote getters from the fans, rather than just being, you know, talking about the top two vote getters, one in each league, rather than them just being the top vote getter in the American League, and then we go around the business of picking the rest of the players. First of all, the fans vote in the starters, and then, of course, you have the combination of fans and managers and so on and so forth who pick the reserves, or players and so on. Harper says, let's let the top two vote getters, regardless of what league they're in, draft the rest of their team. That's it. That it would be kind of like schoolyard, you know, and which might not make everybody feel good if you were one of the last people picked when everybody was picking up kickball teams or basketball teams, and you got the two best studs up at the front of the, you know, the playground. All right, I'll take Jimmy. All right, I got Joey. All right, Stevie. All right, Tommy. I pick Jim. I pick Bob. Oh, boy, it's getting down to slim pickings here. All right, give me Sarah. Okay, I'll take Stinky. And it's not much fun when you get down to the tail end. But there won't be any tail ends, won't be any last picks that nobody likes, because they'd be picking all-stars to win a game. And he said it would be kind of like that, where each of the top vote getters would pick regardless of league. And his reason for this, says Bryce Harper, is because think about how much fun it would be for a guy like me to face Max Scherzer, my teammate. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball. He's dominant. I'm having a pretty good year. I'm paraphrasing him. He didn't say all these things. But the point being that for the fans, Bryce Harper, who's damn good, Max Scherzer, who's damn good, that'd be great. I'd like to see Clayton Kershaw pitch to Cody Bellinger, see how that works out. I'd like to see Chris Sale pitch to Mookie Betts. I'd like to see Corey Kluber pitch to Michael Brantley or Jose Ramirez. All of those things would be on the table when you pick the all-star teams by draft as opposed to by the current format. And so I got to say I'm a little bit intrigued. The only thing that pulls me back on this would be what the Pro Bowl tried to do a few years back. And, Kush, you probably remember this. It was Team Dion against Team Michael Irvin.
Oh, yeah.
Jerry Rice against Team Chris Carter. And those guys, former players, picked their Pro Bowl teams. And I'm trying to remember, Jim, and maybe you can refresh my memory on this. Did they pick who made the Pro Bowl, or did the Pro Bowl balloting happen and then the players were chosen and then the two captains got to split them up amongst themselves?
I believe the Pro Bowl rosters were already in place.
Okay.
Then the guys picked the team, and I'm hoping that's what Bryce Harper's talking about here.
It has
too.
To be, because
to be,
you
yeah.
cannot give Bryce Harper, who is the top vote getter, and Aaron Judge, who is the top vote getter in the American League,
right.
the power to select all-stars.
Right. The selections one will already guy. Be made, then they'll have the giant pool of names if they
and
want to do the draft.
And then everybody's in one
style.
Pool.
Yes.
National Leaguers and American Leaguers together.
Right.
Okay. That's the kind of thing that I would like to see. Now, it failed in the football realm, which is what gives me pause. But that's because it was still the Pro Bowl.
The game itself is garbage. That's
right.
why it failed.
It was still the Pro Bowl. It's a violent sport in which they're playing a game that nobody wants to be violent in.
Right.
That's the bottom line. The guys who make the team made it because they were extraordinarily violent blockers,
yeah.
extraordinarily violent defensive linemen and tacklers and hitters in the secondary. And when you get in the Pro Bowl game, all of the violence is gone. So it's just a jogging through and grabbing around the waist and throwing down type of game, which is why nobody watches it and nobody, you know, really wants to play in it. Even when you get picked, the only reason you want to get picked is because there might be a rider on your contract that says if you make the Pro Bowl, you get another $150,000. Or some other number. So it didn't work then, but that's a Pro Bowl thing. I think it could work in baseball, and I think it would be a hell of a lot of fun to see Yankee on Yankee violence. By violence, I mean just pitching to hitters. And I want to see Dodger on Dodger violence. I want to see Dodger retire another Dodger, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think this is something that baseball could do? And maybe they don't have a lot of incentive to now, because right now they're just the cock of the walk. They've got everything because everybody knows the Pro Bowl sucks. Everybody knows that the hockey game it might not suck as bad, but it's hockey. It's already a niche sport. And as a niche sport, it doesn't draw a lot of attention anyway. No disrespect to Red Wings fans, but it is. It's a niche or niche sport, if you will. So baseball already runs, you know, rules the roost, if you will. They're already the best of the All-Star games. The NBA All-Star game is a joke. We saw that, too, including
right.
the dunk contest. The only thing remotely interesting is the three-point contest, and they found a way to make that boring now. So baseball already wins, and maybe because of that they don't want to mess with it. But if they want to make a good thing better, if they want to take a good thing and make it great, a great thing and make it epic, this could be a way to do it. Is it something that you think that the players would be interested in doing, Kush?
I think it might be, and we also must remember, especially when you compare it to the NFL and the Pro Bowl that did it, you know, the problem, as we know, is the Pro Bowl is probably looked upon, well, maybe depending on who you talk to nowadays, I guess I should say, but or whether it be tied with the NBA, is the most worthless of the All-Star
games to watch.
Whereas
tied with the NBA? No, it's a billion times worse than the NBA, and the NBA is awful.
I said
that lets you know how bad the Pro Bowl really is.
I consider the Pro Bowl to be the most useless of them all. What I'm trying to say is, whether it's this idea or something else, baseball at least has the advantage that even though it's exhibition and fully exhibition now, thank goodness the home field thing, it's still the one All-Star game of the sports that is the most like an actual game. You know, when Kershaw and Sale, for example, or Scherzer and Sale are on the mound tonight, they're not going to suddenly just lob it up there at 70 miles an hour. They're still going to throw their 90-plus heaters. You know, that's not going to change. You know what I mean? It's the one that actually plays most like the actual game is supposed to play, instead of where NBA, nobody plays any defense. And we know the litany of things with the Pro Bowl that make it, you
know,
like...
We get all of that. That's what makes it the best of the four. It's what makes them, as I said, you know,
exactly.
Ruling the roost.
So,
but the question kind of is can they improve upon it?
Right.
And would this be an improvement, or would it just be too much of a novelty, too much of a trying too hard to stand out and gain attention kind of a thing? Because the one thing that we all have to understand, and I'm sure we do, baseball is a game about tradition. Baseball is a game about history. Baseball is a game where I want to see all of the record books.
Yep.
It's more about stats than any other game, even more than basketball.
Mm-hmm.
If basketball was as much about stats as baseball is, Wilt Chamberlain's 50 points and 26 rebounds a game in 1962 would have won the MVP award. It didn't. And neither did Oscar Robertson's triple-double average. It happened to go to Bill Russell because they won, okay, and the Celtics won. So it's not as much about stats as baseball. As baseball's about stats, it's about history, it's about tradition. And the one thing you can do, Jim, if you open up a Major League Baseball encyclopedia or click on a page of one or a link of one in modern-day reading circles by going online, is you look at All-Star games and you look at results, and every single one of the All-Star game results is going to read National League X, American League X.
Right.
Or American League Y, National League Y. It's always been, and I suspect because of the traditionalists, it always will be. Do they want to have all of those for the history of baseball? And I don't know how many All-Star games have there been. This would be the, let me see if I can see,
you got to look at what number game, because there was those couple years in the early 60s where they played two in one season, which is just, kids today would be like, why the heck would you even do that?
Yeah, and I don't know what number game this is, and it's not that relevant, but the point is, whatever it is, it's all American League and National League. And do you want to see then, or do they want to see then, you know, starting in 2017, team, I don't know, would they name themselves? Would Harper's team be named after him because he was the top vote getter in one, and Judge the top vote getter in the other, as they picked their split of the teams? Would it be Harper Judge, or would it be American? Well, it can't be American National because they're going to be mixed up. Would it be? They'd have to find a way to do that.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that's something that baseball would be too terribly interested in doing.
No,
the tradition factor.
And I suspect that you're right. And even if you take out the traditional factor, you do wonder if the niche kind of thing comes into play, where if you do it that way, the novelty kind of thing in that bad sense. There is that risk, but I don't know.
Here's what he said, put it in his terms, because I paraphrased him. Here's what he said. It would be great if, let's say, the two leading vote-getters by the fans did a draft system and could pick from both sides. So I could be facing Max Scherzer today. I mean, nobody sees that. It would be a lot of fun to do something like that, to make it a little more competitive, to face somebody on your own team. Like if Kershaw faced Justin Turner or Chris Sale faced Mookie Betts.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a lot of fun. He went on to say that he was happy players were able to have fun at the All-Star game with the home field advantage no longer being attached, as we've all said. Quote, I think that's great. Guys just being able to come in and relax and enjoy what we do. We play 162 games a year, so you're able to come in here and just hang out and enjoy being around your family and friends. I think with baseball, your competition is going to be up there, of course. I don't think guys are going to take at-bats off or pitchers off or anything like that. But I think the best record in baseball should have home field advantage no matter what. And he's 100% right about that. But the idea that he said about being able to face your own teammates and seeing matchups that you would never see before, to me, is something that is very, very, very intriguing. Let me throw one more at you, just real quick, and since we'll just kind of make this a fully baseball-centric show and an all-star-centric show, which is what we've done. Going back to the Derby last night, you know, Jim, I said the one thing that I had a problem with was the format getting out of the first round. How the guys who hit the most home runs didn't necessarily advance, which is just stupid. How somebody who hit fewer than somebody else did gets to move on.
Right, right.
But this is, again, It might fall under the category of fixing something that isn't broken. The thing I already said I think is broken, and they should fix that. But this one really isn't necessarily broken, but it's just trying to add a little feature to it. You know how, two components to this. You know how in the NBA three-point contest, the last ball on each rack is the multicolored ball, that is the bonus ball. And you get 2 points for that instead of just one.
Okay, yeah.
Why not the last 30 seconds of the 4 minutes of the Derby, each ball in the last 30 seconds is a two-point or two-tally home run ball, so that you can have your batting practice pitcher just heave them like it's a pitching machine and just shoo, because each one of them is worth two. And you can close the gap from somebody who might be up by, you know, 9 or 10 home runs with 30 seconds to go, and suddenly you only hit five, and bang, you tied. That could add a lot of drama to the competition, and it's similar to the three-point thing. That's number one. And then number two for you to react to. And again, this is just kind of, this was born in my goofy, weird, warped brain a couple of hours ago when I heard the analysts who were calling the game last night. By the way, did you like it without Chris Berman for the first time? I was so tired of his shtick. I was so glad to see that wasn't part of
good,
it anymore.
Good call there.
But the guys were talking about the number of home runs that were oppo. You know, talk about power. It looks like they didn't get good barrel on that one, and it went the other way, but they're so strong, they carried it out. And they talked about the number of opposite field home runs. And it made me wonder, could you add to the entertainment factor by rewarding guys who can do that? And what I'm talking about is massive target signs, you know, bullseyes, out in the bleacher stands, et cetera, in right field, center field, and left field. And if you're a right-handed hitter, the target in right field, if you hit that big sheet or whatever it's going to be, is going to be worth more than the pulling them down the line and out of the, into the third stratosphere. If you go center field, you get, let's say if you pull one to your normal field, you get a point. If you hit one to center and you hit the sheet, you get a two, and if you go oppo with one, you get a three. And you really, really, you know, kind of test the power. And again,
kinda
the
like
goal
it.
Here is somebody who put up a 22 the way, Bauer that Judge beat in the first round. He puts up a 22, and let's say Judge is still down by 9 with 30 seconds to go. You adjust that swing, and you go oppo, and you aim for that sheet out there, and bam, there's a three, and bam, there's a two down the middle in center field. Those kinds of things. They already reward the 440-footer, so the hardest, longest hits, with extra time. So why not award or reward oppo hits like that, showing true talent and power to all fields?
Kind of like it.
With extra points. What do you think?
I kind of like that idea. I do. Or something... either that and or something like the last 30 seconds, since they're done on a little bit of a clock now. Yeah. You know, maybe the last 30 seconds, like you said, it counts as two instead of one, like the money ball in the three-point contest.
Right, exactly.
That's a
I
great call.
I think there's
call.
Ways to really improve it and make it better. Again, you know,
I think
some
they
people
also
might
need,
say, don't...
separate from the home run derby and the game itself, I think they need a skills competition type thing, too. There are so many different avenues you could take with that.
Yeah, I think so, too. And that could give guys who are middle infielders who don't have the power, you know, to do these kinds of things an opportunity to showcase their skills.
Yeah.
All right. Here's what I'm going to do, because we're running out of time. Music is playing. First of all, I got another four-pack of any-day ground passes for the Marathon Classic starting on Monday at Highland Meadows. Those will go to caller 4. Caller 4 to 866-240-1065. And I still feel like there was something else I had to do, but I can't remember what it was. Doesn't matter. We'll just do that. We'll hook you up with the marathon passes on the way out the door here, and we'll set up drive time. But just coming your way next right here on ESPN 106.5. The Ticket, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.